Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we are going to talk about our unit on literature, especially about the book My Sister's Keeper. This is a story about a bond between sisters. It's very controversial here. It's not just your everyday sister story. It involves a disease, and it involves someone being born because they needed the new daughter to provide bone marrow transplants and stuff like that. So, it's a very moral story, and it's kind of hard to decide what's right and what's wrong.
The title's kind of interesting. My Sister's Keeper. Keeper here refers to someone who takes care of somebody else, protects them, watches out for them. And we find out that it's not the bigger sister taking care of the little sister. It's the little sister taking care of the big sister.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what we talked about last time. We talked about the summary of that story. We kind of gave away the ending there, but still we recommend you read it. I think the reading level is fairly simple. You should be able to whip through it pretty fast. And if you want to increase your listening power, you could probably listen to the audiobook version of that story or go see the movie because this has been made into a movie. But today, we're actually going to talk about the author of My Sister's Keeper, a woman by the name of Jodi Picoult. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about her and her life and how she became a writer. Let's listen very carefully, and then we'll come back to discuss it. The author of My Sister's Keeper, Jodi Picoult, comes from Long Island, New York. She took to writing at a very young age, penning her first story when she was 5. She continued to write throughout her childhood, and later as a young adult, she chose to attend Princeton University, where she took several writing classes and wrote independently in her free time. 2 of her articles were published in the well-known 17 magazine, a publication which is particularly popular with adolescents. Despite her talent and dedication to her writing craft, Picoult didn't achieve immediate success after graduating from college. She took a variety of jobs which included teaching English, technical writing, and proofreading textbooks. Meanwhile, she continued to write. She pursued higher education and earned a master's degree in education from the prestigious Harvard University. Picoult published her first full-length novel in 1992, but it wasn't an overnight success. In fact, she didn't receive widespread recognition as a writer until 1998 with the release of The Pact. Picoult has a reputation for being a prolific author, pumping out books at a fast pace over the course of her career. Her books often deal with controversial issues in modern society, including teen suicides, prisoners sentenced to death, and mass shootings. She is particularly adept at exploring the minds of characters that have difficult choices to make and dealing with negative emotions such as fear and grief.
Let's talk for a little bit about the author's name. The author's name here is Jodi Picoult, or Jodi Picoult. Actually, Tom, when you were reading this, you did 2 pronunciations. I just wanted to tell everybody, this is her name. The only way you'd actually know how she pronounces it is to ask her yourself. So you can say Jodi Picoult or Jodi Picoult. They're both correct, actually. It's a French name. That's why we don't pronounce the LT. It's a little different. She comes from Long Island, New York. That's where one of my best friends grew up. And it says here she took to writing at a very young age. If you take to something, it just means you begin doing something and you find you really like it. Wow, this is great. And usually if someone takes to something, it also gives you this idea that they're pretty good at it. And we see here that she started writing at a very young age. She wrote her first story when she was only 5 years old. To pen is another verb we use sometimes to talk about writing. It's kind of fun. She penned her first novel.
And she continued to write throughout her childhood. So she started writing when she was 5. She continued writing throughout her childhood. And later, after she was, you know, beyond 18 and into university and stuff, and as a young adult, when she was 18 or 19, she chose to attend Princeton University, which, of course, as you know, is a prestigious university. It's not as prestigious as Harvard, of course, but still going to Princeton is no small thing. And when she was at Princeton, she took several writing classes and wrote independently in her free time. So independently here means on your own, outside of your usual activities. So she was taking classes when she was going to Princeton, but when she had free time in her dorm room or wherever, she actually got out her little notebook and started writing on her own.
Sometimes university students are writing for their school's newspaper. That's very popular for people who want to become journalists or who just love to write. They'll actually volunteer to write for their school newspaper. They aren't usually paid, though some of them can be paid. So here it says she wrote independently, meaning she wrote freelance. She was writing on her own. Nobody was giving her stories to write. She was just doing it for her own pleasure. She probably was trying to get things published back then, too. In the next sentence, it says, two of her articles were published in the well-known 17 magazine. It's a fashion magazine for young teen girls. I loved 17 magazine when I was growing up. And if you get something published, it means you take your manuscript, what you've written, whether you've typed it or written it by hand, it doesn't matter. You take those pages into a publishing company and you ask them to read it. They'll read it and decide if they like it. If they like it, then they print that book and allow it or put it up there for sale so you can be sold in bookstores or online. That's what it means to publish or be published as an author.
Indeed. So you could publish articles in books and in magazines. I suppose you could even publish articles online these days. In this case, it was a well-known magazine for adolescents, but as you pointed out, it's not just adolescents, but adolescent girls, because boys would not be caught dead looking in 17 magazine.
It's true. It's not just for adolescents. It's for girls, young teen girls, yeah.
I've only seen the cover of 17 magazine. I never picked it up. Another example is like Cosmopolitan. That's a magazine for women. Men, again, wouldn't be caught dead reading a magazine like that.
Yeah, didn't you like the 17 magazine covers, though? There are always those pretty models and movie stars on the cover.
I think I vaguely remember that, yeah, but I've been in Taiwan for quite some time, so I kind of forgot what those covers look like. But in any case here, we've got the word adolescent here. An adolescent is a young person who is in the process of changing from being a child and becoming an adult, coming of age, we could say. So they're no longer kids. Things are happening to their bodies, and they're getting different kinds of interests. They're putting away their dolls and their toys and starting to learn how to play with adult things and become independent, and they're getting ready to leave the home.
Well, despite her talent and dedication to her writing craft, Pico didn't achieve immediate success after she graduated from college. It took a little while, which is the case for many writers or many artists. You don't have overnight success. Overnight means immediate, right? Something that happens quickly. Dedication means a lot of time and effort that you spend doing something. You can be dedicated to your school. Maybe you take a lot of time doing your homework. Maybe you have a lot of dedication to your family, so you help your family out whenever you can. She was dedicated to her craft. Her craft here usually refers to something that you make with your hands in a skillful way, like pottery is a craft, basket weaving, woodworking, those are all crafts. Here we make it clear that it's not just making a product to sell. We're actually using our minds and our hands to produce wonderful writing. So it's her writing craft.
Can you do any of these kinds of crafts like glass blowing or pottery or crochet or
I can crochet and I can knit. And okay. I can do something called embroidery.
Embroidery.
I was pretty good at that. But Pottery, no. I don't do any pottery. Can you make pottery yourself?
No, other than my art classes in high school, I could, you know, make a little pot or something and stick it in the kiln or whatever.
Cool.
Anybody can do that if they have the equipment.
Woodworking?
Yeah, I have some shop classes, yeah,
a little bit,
not too much, but not as much as I would have wanted.
Uh-huh.
But in any case here, we're talking about her writing craft, and she had talent and dedication to her writing craft, but she did not achieve immediate success after she graduated from university. That's kind of surprising, especially if she graduated from Princeton. You'd think she'd have her first book published, but no, she had to join the ranks of all other writers. It takes a while to be recognized and to start getting published. She took a variety of jobs after college, which included teaching English, which is kind of what we're doing here, technical writing, which I guess is opposed to creative writing, where you're writing fiction and stories. Technical writing, I guess, would mean something like writing instruction manuals for new products or stuff like that. Just that writing that people have to read in order to know how to do something.
Mm-hmm. For example, we know a lot of software companies here in Taiwan who hire some of our friends to do their technical writing. If you're a software company, you have to include instructions, correct? Books on how to use the software, that's considered technical writing. You're not just coming up with creative stories. It's not fiction you're writing. It's pretty serious stuff. So she did a lot of that, and she also would proofread textbooks. If you proofread, you're doing proofreading. It means you read for errors. You're trying to find mistakes like typos and sentences that are a little bit incorrect, and you fix them. So it can be a little boring, can it, Tom? We've both proofread things here in Taiwan.
People here publishing English textbooks, they want us to proofread their books to make sure there are no mistakes in them. Oftentimes there are many mistakes, and it takes a while to get through them. But we'll stop talking right now and let our Chinese teacher talk to you for a little bit, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要看一下这个姐姐的守护者，她的作者 Jody Picoult, 她呢成长的背景。在第二句里面提到 She took to writing at a very young age, penning her first story when she was five. 在英文里面如果你说 take to something, 或者是 take to doing something,就是代表开始养成某种的习惯。举例来说 ,recently he's taken to wearing a cap, 指的就是最近他有了戴帽子的习惯。所以我们的作者呢，他其实从很小就开始有了写作的习惯，而在五岁的时候完成了他第一个作品。同一段的最后一句提到Two of her articles were published in the well-known 17 magazine, a publication which is particularly popular with adolescents. 事实上呢，她有其中两篇文章就刊登在知名的17的杂志当中。后面补充说明是怎么样的一个杂志呢？A publication, 一个出刊品呢是相当受到青少年的喜爱。在这里青少年我们就可以说 adolescents。第二段提到 ,despite her talent and dedication to her writing craft, Picoult didn't achieve immediate success after graduating from college. Despite,尽管虽然他非常有天赋，而且也全心地投入在写作的事业当中，这里面的 craft 其实指的就是某个行业的技巧，所以如果说是 masters of the craft, 代表呢他是这个行业里面的大师。而前面的 dedication 则是指一种奉献的精神。举例来说 ,the project,has been a success, thanks to the dedication of all our staff. 多亏我们全体工作人员的奉献，这个计划才得以成功。所以尽管他有天赋，又全心的投入写作，事实上呢，他并没有获得立即的成功。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson here. Now, remember, we're talking about the author of My Sister's Keeper, Jodi Picou. And she's originally from Long Island. She went to Princeton. She took some writing classes there. And she got some articles published in 17 magazine, but after she graduated, she could not get stuff published, so she took a variety of jobs teaching English, technical writing, proofreading. Meanwhile, she continued to write. So she still did these jobs, but her real passion was writing. That's what she wanted to do, so she kept dedicated to the craft of writing. And so she decided, hey, I think I need another degree. A bachelor's degree is just not going to do it. So she pursued higher education, went to graduate school, and she earned a master's degree in education from the prestigious Harvard University in Boston there. Pretty close to MIT, actually, mm-hmm. where Janet Tsia went. And prestigious here means, hey, it's well known for being really excellent. I think it's recognized, at least in the United States, as the best university there is. And maybe even Harvard is recognized as the best university in the world.
When you see that phrase, higher education, you can be sure that it means graduate school, where you pursue higher degrees. So if you get your bachelor's, that's considered kind of average. And then higher education would include master's and doctorates. I wanted to mention, too, a master's degree is a degree that's given to a student by a college or university, usually after 1 or 2 years of additional study. It follows your bachelor's degree. And then after that, you can pursue a Ph.D. or a doctorate. She went on to go to the prestigious Harvard University. It says here that she published her first full-length novel in 1992. We say she published her first full-length novel because in the past she had been concentrating more on magazine articles. Those are shorter. She may even have written some short stories. Technical writing would not qualify as a novel. Full-length. To me, full-length, Tom, maybe you disagree with this. You can tell me what you think. A full-length novel to me would be around 250 pages to maybe 500 pages.
Sounds about right to me. I was going to say at the cutoff point is about 200 pages or so. Anything shorter than that is like a novelette, for example, or maybe even just a simple short story. So she published her first full-length novel way back in 1992. My goodness, that's about, 20 years ago or so?
Wow.
But it wasn't an overnight success. Overnight means rather quickly an overnight success here. We're using the word overnight with the word success. That means that you were unknown the day before, and then suddenly the next day, you were really famous. Everybody knew about you. You were an overnight success.
I think we could use that term and apply it to the Harry Potter writer, J.K. Rowling. I mentioned her earlier. She was someone who wanted to not use a word processor or a computer. She would sit down and write her stories out by hand. She was an overnight success. Now, we may call her that, but if you hear her story, you find out she submitted her book to so many publishing companies and was turned down again and again. So even if you're not an overnight success, don't give up. You never know when success will find you.
That's what they say. If you want to be a writer, you have to prepare yourself for rejection and rejection time and time again.
Like an actor, yes.
Like an actor. Don't lose hope, though. You might succeed sometime, although there are plenty of people who never do, of course. That's true. And in fact, she didn't receive widespread recognition as a writer until 6 years later in 1998, and that's when she released The Pact. So she received that recognition with the release of The Pact. First of all, let's deal with this word widespread here. That just means in all sorts of places, in all sorts of parts of the world. So she did not receive recognition all over the place. Maybe she was recognized in, you know, Harvard or something, or Princeton, or Long Island, but hey, in some place like Wyoming or Hawaii or British Columbia, they'd never heard of her. Who the heck is this Picou woman? We've never heard of her.
If you release something as a verb, it means you make it available to the public for sale. You can release a new album. You'll often hear that. The movie was released in 2012. It was actually made available to the public. Well, in 1998, that's when she first got some real attention and recognition, is when she wrote The Pact and it was put on sale. She has a reputation for being a prolific author. Prolific means someone who produces a lot very quickly. Some authors take years to produce a novel. Well, it sounds like she writes very fast. So she pumps out books at a fast pace. Pump out is also a way to say that someone's producing something very quickly, very frequently. The author pumps out a book every year. Someone else who is prolific and pumps out a lot of books is that horror writer, Stephen King. He is prolific. He probably publishes a book every year, which is amazing to some people because he comes up with very complicated and intricate plots. Well, Pico pumps out a lot of books quickly as well. Her books often refer to or deal with controversial issues. If it's controversial, it means a lot of people disagree. They have different opinions about something. I could say abortion is a highly controversial issue. She deals with some issues that a lot of people think are controversial, like teen suicides. A suicide is when someone kills themselves. Prisoners who are sentenced to death. If you're sentenced to something, it means you're officially given some punishment by a court of law because you did something wrong.
Indeed. So these are some controversial issues in society, suicides, the death penalty, and mass shootings, which seem to happen in the United States quite frequently, sometimes other countries. Mass shootings, of course, is when somebody just kills a bunch of people at one time. And so she's dealing with these issues in her books. Mass means a lot of something. Mass murder, for example, or sometimes there's mass burials if they don't know who the people are that got killed. And shootings, of course, refers to somebody with a gun shooting a lot of people. And she is particularly adept at exploring the minds of characters that have difficult choices to make. Okay, so she's adept at this thing. If you're adept at something, that means you're very skilled and proficient at doing something. You could be adept at various skills, adept at writing, for example, adept at sports, whatever. If you're really good, you are adept at that thing.
And it usually means you're very good at doing something that isn't easy. It's kind of difficult. You could say he's adept in several languages. He's very good at languages. Well, she's really good at exploring the minds of characters that have some really tough choices to make. And they're also dealing with negative emotions like fear and grief. Negative just means things that aren't very hopeful or positive, that bring people down. Fear isn't very positive. It usually results in someone being afraid to try something, holds you back. And grief is a word we use to describe great sadness. Grief is usually referred to when we talk about people who pass away, you know, family and friends, those sorts of things would cause someone a lot of grief.
Grief, right. Maybe, for example, when Wang Jianming could no longer pitch for the Yankees, you probably had a lot of grief then, didn't you?
Yeah, we're kind of sad. He once again left our team. He's now playing for the Blue Jays.
Cool. He's gone up to Canada. Wonderful. Nice, clean country there with lots of very tasty maple syrup. But again, we're talking about Jodi Picou. And, well, we talked about some of the successes she had early on, but later on she was able to publish some of her books. And, hey, now she's well-known. And the one we're talking about, of course, is My Sister's Keeper, which we'll continue talking about in our next program, so make sure you join us then. But before we say goodbye today, we'd like to listen once again to our Chinese teacher.
在她从事许多工作的同时，这里提到 Meanwhile, she continued to write. She pursued higher education and earned a master's degree in education from the prestigious Harvard University. 同时他继续的写作也追求了更高的教育。在这里我们用 pursue 可以有从事的意思。所以如果你是 pursue a career in medicine, 代表你从事的是医疗的工作。在此同时他也取得了哈佛大学的教育硕士学位。接着我们来看到下一段的第二个句子。In fact, she didn't receive widespread recognition as a writer until 1998 with the release of The Pact. 事实上呢，她要一直到1998年才能够广为人知，获得大家的赞誉。Recognition 这个名词解释成为表扬跟赞誉。我们常常听到有人呢，因为他所做的贡献颁了名誉的学位，我们就可以说 She was awarded an honorary degree in recognition of her work in the community. 这里的 recognition 就是有表扬跟赞誉的意思。一直到了 The Pact 死亡约定这个书出版，他才开始广为人知。后面提到 Her books often deal with controversial issues in modern society, including teen suicides, prisoners sentenced to death, and mass shootings. 她其实探讨着许多现代社会当中极具争议性的话题，包括了青少年的自杀 teen suicides, 被判死刑的犯人 prisoners sentenced to death,以及群众的枪击事件 ,mass shootings. She is particularly adept at exploring the minds of characters that have difficult choices to make, and dealing with negative emotions such as fear and grief. 后面提到她对于探索书中主角的内心世界特别拿手。在这里我们用了一个形容词 adept, 有擅长的、熟练的的意思。像是一个技巧很娴熟的音乐家，你就可以说 a technically adept musician。而某人擅长于做某件事情，你就可以用片语 be adept at doing something 来表达。所以他擅长两件事情，我们用 and 来连接。所以他擅长来探索书中主角的内心世界，另外一个呢，也会去处理恐惧跟悲伤等的负面情绪。
Well, that's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you join us again for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.